Ja, aber da ist ein Einbad in Tiefe, die Kuh, Tisha B'Av, one couple rang up that they're very sorry, they wanted to come but they'd be out of town on the 11th, and they even tried to rearrange and they couldn't. So today I immediately wrote to another party and asked that party to come. So, and I hope we're all doing the same thing. The stations are not at all responsive. I've asked in my cutting letter, I said, please let me know whether you will be able to come or not. I beg your pardon? You called them, yes. I just put that in case they can't come, then I'll get the... But this is very important. It's very important for Amichot. And don't forget, we are here in a dual role. We are here to satisfy our own needs to Yiddishkeit, and we are here also to make it available to others, and that is a responsibility which we have as the Maitreya. And it's Lilmod Ulelamei. We've got a double responsibility, Jad, and I hope that each one of these days who come to the shiur are responding to that responsibility. All right. Now, we are on pages 140 and 141. And I want to briefly, the subject that we're doing now, and we are right in the middle of it. Can you hear me here at the back? The subject that we are doing now, and we are right in the middle of it, is Yisrael, the Umat Olam, Jews and Gentiles. And an important matter that arose at the last shiur and at the shiur before that. We started with the shiur before that and the last shiur when the great divide came about. He said that the great divide came about at the time of the Tower of Babel. That doesn't mean that it was because of the Tower of Babel that there was a divide. It was so incidental. A time that was given for the nation, all the people, to come back to the level of Odom HaRishon before the Chet, before the Shin, the time that was given was 20 generations. And the 20 generations was up at the time of the Tower of Babel. And so, what each person, individual, or each group of people who fell under an individual, what level had been reached at that stage, that was the level that it remained at. So the specificity of each single individual at that time, or the head of a group, whatever specificity he had achieved, whether it was good or bad, that was his character. And that is what he remains now. And he was the paradigm, he was the foundation of the nations to come. And so there were 70 of these people, and these people are written out in the table. So these were the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And through and from these, all the nations were spread out. And so it tells us that and these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Chom, and Yefet, and children were born to them after the flood. Now, the sons of Yefet, Gomer, Gomorgo, Gomorgai, the Gorbon, the Sebal, the Meshech, the Tiros, three. They got seven. So those are seven of the 70 nations. And then it goes on to name Gomer, and then it goes on and it tells you. And it tells you who the 70 nations are. These 70 nations are the Shroshim. They are the roots. Got that clear? These 70 nations are the roots. And whatever a nation has achieved is that, and not one came back to the Madrega of Ode Mauritius. Now when I say to the Madrega of Ode Mauritius, it doesn't mean that he reached actually that what he was expected, to come back exactly where Ode Mauritius was before the Chesed. But what it means was that he should have the potential to reach what all the other Mauritian had before the fact. Now don't forget that I told you there were two types of potentialities. There's a type of potentiality by going into our school, into our Gam Torah, and I see two little boys there, and I say these two little boys have the potential of can become the Gedolei Torah. They've got the potential. And then I see another two little boys, they're usually not the same, and I see these two little boys can grow up to be strong men. Now the second potential is far more likely than the first potential. The second potential is a natural potential. Of course, he's a little boy of 4 or 5 now, but this little boy we know that when he's 17 or 18, he's a full-sized man. We know that. But that when he's 17 or 18, he will be able to learn the Morah Rashi Tosfos well by himself already, and go to a big yeshiva and be under a master. He might have the potential, he might not. But even if he has the potential for it, it doesn't mean to say that that is what's going to happen. So, with these people, all that is wanted is that they should have the potential, that it should be more than just the potential of the boy of 4 or 5 who's going to go up to be a big man. When he's 18 or 19, he'll be a full-grown man. Not that kind of potential, it is very much more than that. It was that each one should be able to reach great heights. When it came to all these people, none was able to reach those heights except Avraham. He was a great exception. And from that was a great divide. So Avraham was separate from all the rest. And that is from Avraham starts Jews, and from him starts Gentiles. Avraham was a Jew, the others were the Goyim. Now, when I did the shiur last week, I explained to you, at least Berakh Hashem explained to you that God in His great chesed did three things as far as the nations of the world were concerned. Three expressions of His chesed. The first expression was that although there was this great divide, and there were those who were going to be the descendants of Avraham Avinu, and they would be the Am Yisrael, and the rest of the world would be the Ummah, would be the Gentiles, no nation could come back to what it was, to what it could have been until then, with a reservation which I shall speak to you about soon. But what the chesed of Hashem did was that an individual in a nation could become a Jew. He could become a Goyim, and as a Goyim he could become a Jew. But when he became a Jew, he attached himself to Avraham Avinu, but it was more than just attaching himself to Avraham Avinu. He was grafted on to the tree of Avraham Avinu. And so being grafted onto the tree of Avraham Avinu, he became a branch. because the other nations also have their Shereshim and the Anofim. But each head of the 70 nations, he was the Sheresh, and all that followed the Sheresh, the root, they were the Anofim, they were the branches and the stems and the fruits and the leaves. Yes?
Are these all the Gershonites, the Israelites, the Canaanites, the Gershonites, the Arabs, all? Can you say the nations? There are each an individual, one of the 70s? What do you mean by each individual? Well, there were seven nations, I think. Seven. Okay. Seven. Okay. Seven. Okay. Seven. Okay. One of them, I thought, all converted to Judaism, the Gershonites, one of them. No, they didn't. They did a very clever thing.
They decided that they would get out of Israel before the trouble started.
Oh, that's what they did. Oh, I thought they went and got out.
And once they got out, they were saved.
But then the other nations were destroyed, so there were less than 70 nations.
Well, by that time, they were already, from those 70 nations, there were already others. You follow? That those already have produced others. So today there are more than 70 nations in the world today. Right. Now, but there are 70 root nations still. Although the original ones may no longer exist, but from the twigs, from the boughs, we have come other nations. So we've still got the 70 root nations we've still got. And so we've got a lot of nations that belong to the root nations. Well, we've got some idea. For example, Western civilization, what we know is the Western civilization belongs to the Edom, the Edomites. So we've got a pretty good idea. And of course, there are the Amalekites are still there, but they say this stuff that we don't know who's who. Well, we don't know. But there are so many stuff that we just don't know. Who is that?
Yeah,
that a constitute. Yes, what I'm going to see. Now, so there are these three chassadim that Hashem did to the Umas HaOlam. First of all, that the individual has got a chance. So you don't want to punish the individual because of the nation. So the individual because of his ancestry. So the individual has got a chance. Don't forget, he's got the potential. He hasn't got the potential that he's going to be somebody yet, but he's got something there. And so he can become, or she can become, a Jew, or a Jewess. And it's not just a question of attaching to Avraham Avinu, it's grafting onto Avraham Avinu. And if it's grafted on, then it's absolutely the same as a Jew. Now, I want you to know, there are certain plants that don't take the graft. That you can graft and it just doesn't take. It rejects it. That is when a man or a woman is not properly converted. They don't accept all the mitzvahs. They accept it in reservation. Yes, but my husband is a Jew, he doesn't do that. Your husband is born a Jew, we can't do anything with him. So he's a naughty Jew, he's a very naughty Jew, but we can't do anything about him. He's a Jew. But you're grafted. If you're grafted, it's no good. So we do a conversion. But it's rejected. So the person thinks he's Jew, but isn't Jew. So the chesed of Hashem was that there is a person who becomes Jewish for no other reason than that he or she is in love. Not with a man or not with a woman, but in love with the Torah. That's the only reason. And in love to such an extent that she's prepared, or he's prepared, to go through whatever it is he goes through, then are all means. Then if that person becomes Jewish and becomes properly Jewish, then it grafts it on and it is part of the tree. Otherwise it's not part of the tree. The tree rejects it. That is the hatred of Hashem with the individual God. But it was not given to a nation, to a whole nation, to become Jewish. Now comes the reservation. The second hatred Hashem did was to give one more chance to the nations of the world, to the Goyim. And that was at Matan Torah, at the time that the Torah was given, they could still come into this place. Still come into this place. Now, is there any reason you can suggest to me why they should have come, why Hashem should have given that extra chance? Yes, this is.
Then they would have had that much more opportunity to
despise us. Well, that's too negative an answer. Yes, there is something in there that's too negative an answer. Yes, Beth?
I think because of all these miracles that have just been performed for them, it's so obvious about Hashem's existence. And so they had the opportunity to acknowledge that at that time. Because the whole world knew and heard.
I'm sorry, but could you just repeat that?
Because of the miracles that were performed for the Israelites coming out of Egypt and in the desert, and that these things were known, and then when he gave the Torah, they all knew, they heard it, they
very
were
good.
Aware.
Very good news. Very good news. You see, when the first happened, you see, when it first happened, the nation of the world will come. Avraham Avinu, in any case he's an oddity, in any case he's an odd man out, who makes notice of him? I mean, so, he isn't a human being at all. So, we know. But look what has happened in the meantime. There's been a Yitzchak, there's been a Yaakov, there's been a Shittai Kor. There's already 6 million of them. And they are all together and they've been taken out of Egypt. Look what has happened. Give them another chance. Same with Amechor. Who wants to be gone to Amechor? Look where they are in a shop track. Look how awkward it is there. Who wants to belong to it? Who are they? What are they? Who is their rabbi? What's their rabbi? Even oddity in any case. Well, time goes on and they establish themselves and there is already a shoe. So on a t-shirt that asked me in the middle of the week at 7:30, I've come to see the crowds, 50 people putting on talis and tefillin. What a change. Because when we first started, we couldn't get a meal on a Shabbos morning. So we've got 50 men, never mind the women that came in the morning and stayed and served the shiur. Now it's a different story. Now it's a different story, you see. We see the care. There's something in it. So we give another chance. That's why we've got our communal Shabbos on August 11th. Give people a chance to see what it's all about. Don't have to believe everything that you're told. Come and see for yourself. That is what we want. And there they saw for themselves what has happened. Should give them another chance. Very nice of Hashem. So what do? The first thing they say, okay, before we commit ourselves, we want to know what it is we are in for. Tell us what is expected of us. Now that already was a disqualification. If I ask one of my children, I need you to do something for me, will you do it for me? Never has a child of mine said, if I can, what is it? never. What is it in that tone of voice, which is very bad? If a child of mine would say, what is it? I say, doesn't matter. Leave it. But the answer that a child gives is, but of course, just tell me. Of course I do. They say, if I can do it, because the child knows that I won't ask him anything that the child can't do. And so the Am Yisrael says, nice even Ishmael, tell us what you do. That was the natural response. The Umash or Elam said, just a minute, what's it called? Tell us, what is expected? He said, yeah, I'm not expected. Just give us one. So what did Hashem say? One that he knew it would be one from which they would recoil. So he tells Moab, there's got to be a sexual morality. Say the prayer. They said, this we can't accept. Now I must tell you that I've learned so much in California. I could never understand that. But when I came to California, now I understand. Tell them there. There's got to be sexual morality from now on. The House of Representatives and then the House of the Senate are going to introduce a law that there's got to be sexual morality. Homosexuality is a crime now. Crime for which there's a death sentence. What is going to happen then? Are they going to say how wonderful this is? It's going to be clean now. Is that what they're going to say?
No, they're going to say that homosexuality is perfectly moral, perfectly normal, and it's
what do you mean? And if a homosexual wants to be a rabbi, you're not going to allow him to be a rabbi? Of course you're going to allow him to be a rabbi. And if his wife is a lesbian, and if a woman is a lesbian and she wants to be a rabbi, of course she can be a rabbi. We are much more advanced than that. We don't believe that. I could never understand it. I believe that what the Torah said is true. But when I came to California, I thought, this is how it actually is. Can't tell them not. They would be ejected. They'd throw you out. Somebody's writing an essay, it hasn't been sent to me yet, should be published any day now. The time of exposing all this to you, what goes on with homosexuality. And I was told, the person who sent me this to me says, I want you to know that this person's life is in danger. He must know that. And he said, I've told him that he's out in danger. He said, in any case, I'm doing it. But I haven't had it yet. As soon as I get it, I'll let you know about it. Now, so what did they say? They said, no, can't have it. Bring to another nation, what does it say? It says, you know, you can't take another person's life. What do you mean you can't take another person's life? Tell the Nazis that you couldn't take another person's life. You see, this is all history to you, but I lived through it. I lived through it. Where the Germans were brainwashed, and you've got no idea how easy it is to brainwash people. And that is why I tell you always that I will never tell anybody in Hamechot what to do and what not to do. I will never do that. My work is to teach reality. That is to which I dedicated my life. And that is you from there to make up your own mind, never tell you what to do or what not to do. Unless you ask me, I'll answer you. Now, tell the Germans, tell them that you can't, it's wrong to kill Jews. You know what their answer was? It was a terrible answer. Is it wrong to kill Germans? These are them, we've got to kill them, it's a mitzvah. That is what their answer was. And you know that wherever Hitler went, this is what happened. And I must tell you, when he came to Lithuania, to Poland, and to Czechoslovakia, and to Ukraine, and to Hungary, the Goyim there accepted with alacrity And I have eyewitness accounts of what happened by Jews who managed to survive and were at the beginning there managed to escape, that the Goyim did it with such venom and with such alacrity. And we saw a series, I don't know how many of you saw it, a long series over the television of a person who went back and let the Goyim and started speaking to them. We tried to see the whole of the
identity.
Shoah, yes, it is called Shoah. It wasn't well done, but it's a very important piece of work because it's documentary. And we saw when he spoke to the Goyim in Poland, yes, this is where it happened. They heard the crying of the Jews, they heard all that. They heard, and they were laughing when they were telling it. They were laughing. So you must know what it is that is taking place there, so that you can't do it. Not allowed to do that. We can't accept that. That is the way we live. Kill terrorists today. That it is wrong to do what you are doing. They don't accept that. They say it's right. We are fighting for, of course, this is what we want. But you know, first of all, you don't have to get everything you want. That's not life. You don't have to get everything you want. And if you want something, there are ways of getting it. But you can't do it through murder. In civilization, there's negotiation. They reject that. So we can see it. We have lived to an age where we can see it ourselves. So Hashem went and he said, you mustn't steal. He said, what do you mean you mustn't steal? How can you do? Can't live without stealing. So each one of these nations rejected it. When they rejected it, then that was finished, then that was over. But that was the second chest that Hashem did. Right?
Well, I just wanted to comment on Rob was just saying now about World War II and how there was much anti-Semitism. There always has been there's anti-Semitism now, you see that.
Yes.
And also kind of seeing what the Rob said yesterday at the Shiur and Tishbab about how the Rob's friend went from all over Europe and asking his host, what are you? And then each host said, I'm a Jew. And he contrasted that to how in America people, Jews say, I'm an American. And I thought about that, that it's come very hard to me because I'm very aware that when non-Jews ask me what is my nationality, I say that I'm French or I'm American or I was born here or I will say anything but I'm a Jew because I'm afraid of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
And not because I'm ashamed of I'm a Jew, but...
Yes, all right. That is a different thing. You see, the person says something in order to save himself. To save himself from attack or discrimination. That is another thing. But the reflex action is, for example, you know, I should have done this experiment here without telling you anything. Mm-hmm. And if I would have gone through the table, I said, what are you in America? You see, now you don't have to be afraid of anti-Semitism from me. I'm not an anti-Semite, I'm not going to be an anti-Semite. But still, you would say American. You wouldn't say I'm Jewish.
I was thinking that too. I was thinking in advance that if the robber, if a Jewish person would ask me, I would say, of course I'm Jewish, and I, especially if a non-religious Jew asked
me. Yes, you see, now you're prepared for it.
No.
But the thing is to get you unaware of it. And just say, but this is common. That Jews in America feel very at home. That is what you spoke about yesterday. They feel very at home.
But I really don't feel at home, Rob. I feel very scared. Even my neighbors who are so nice,
yes.
I don't want them to know that I'm Jewish. Even I wear a kipple, and I know that's why people ask me what I am. If I'm a gypsy or something. I try to avoid the question and then ask the thing. It's because I'm aware there is an effect, or there could be.
That is a phrase of its time, that I can understand. But it's reflexive. That if anybody asks in America, you ask anybody, they will automatically they say America. They don't think of saying Jewish. They say American. And you know, for a very long time, there was opposition to Zionism on the ground that they are undermining our position in Germany and our position elsewhere in the Western world. We are accepted as citizens. Now they came to say, okay, you go, you're not Jews, you've got your own country. There was a lot of fear as far as that is concerned. And there was a lot of opposition to Zionism at the beginning. And to the Belt of Declaration, there was opposition in 1919. It was only afterwards that it was sort of done. And when Sir Herbert Samuel, then Sir Herbert Samuel, was appointed the first High Commissioner for the British government in Israel, there were you know, those days had newspapers, and they still have newspapers today. Newspapers. You know they've got these placards they used to have in the street.
In London, right? In London and in Germany, you don't have them in...
Yeah, you don't have them.
You don't have them in
London. Yeah, you, every street corner, there was a sort of placard. And it was put out in the main news, you say, and they have there, Sir Herbert Goes Home. So you know what the meaning of that was.
That he went to Palestine.
That he went to Palestine, yeah. Palestine, you see. Sir Herbert Goes Home, you see. So the implication, of course, was in that he was his own. Yes?
Because you're thinking about the question about what are you, depending on the frame of mind of the person, you can ask me, what am I? I'm a woman, a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, also.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yes, but you speak really in context, of course. You don't speak in context.
Imagine how do we get people to focus, you know, necessarily on that. I mean, they might say I'm an editor.
Well, I can tell you what happened in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. They're sitting around the table and the gentleman is speaking. Is Scotland part of England or not? Mm-hmm. And they said, yes, it is part of England, it's part of the United Kingdom. That's why it's called the United Kingdom. It's English, United it's called United Kingdom because it's England, Scotland, Wales. So he said, well, what are you? He said, I'm Jewish. He said, I'm Scotsman or an Englishman. He said, I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. So it was in context. That is
exactly
what happened. Yeah, and he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. He said, nobody in America under those circumstances would have said, I'm Jewish, but I'm American. So he expected what he wanted them to hear, are they, do they regard themselves as Scotsmen or as Englishmen? They live in Glasgow, born in Glasgow, Scotland, well, used to belong to England, there's a movement to be away from it, so what did you do? He said, we are Jews. He didn't get any, he was none the wiser afterwards. That is what happened. And this is what struck him so forcibly. The first place where it was in Manchester, but he was with my family sitting anyway. So he didn't take much notice of that, you see. But when he came there, he saw that. So that is all of that. Right. Now we are the second chesed of Hashem. The second chesed of Hashem was that he gave them until Har Sinai. Now you see what has happened. You've been seeing. No, that didn't do. Of course, Amalek did a lot of harm at that particular stage, but still, there was something to see now. Still a face to it, still that. He said, now it's a different thing. Now it's altogether a different thing. So, they don't get that chance anymore. But the individual always gets that chance. And now comes the third great chesed of Hashem. And the first great chesed of Hashem is, so what is going to happen to the nations of the world? Right? Oh, that is extremely well. Is that true? Yes, there you are. Now, the third great chesed, what's the third great chesed? So now the question is, where does the Gentile stand? So the Yerach Hashem says, in spite of everything, they have what he calls the אין שהיא, אין מה שרואה לו איניש יש לו איניש. They are human. They've got that which is human. And he goes to the Aini, she yearly him the Shoma Ka'in, he's from Bnei Yisrael. Abba Tisha Ein Madre Goto Madre Gis Nishmet Yisrael, Elo Shepola Meim Halbe. He says, their soul is something like the Jewish soul. Although the devil is by no means the devil of Israel, and it is Shepola Meim Halbe, considerably lower. That is, but they have got humanity. He says that he is your Lord, him mitzvah. Therefore they must have mitzvah. Now he doesn't explain why it's necessary to have mitzvah, but I explain to you. Because it is...
Think about
the plan. Now I could not be there, so he says, it's necessary for them to have mitzvah. Without mitzvahs, you cannot maintain a standard of human values. Now, I'm just having a very interesting discussion with the head of the ophthalmic division at Scripps in La Jolla. So far, in writing, and it is telephonic. And he was questioning me about medical ethics. And I said to him that Rabbi Jacobovitz, who is now Lord Jacobovitz, was really the first one to enter into the field of medical ethics, and it's Jewish medical ethics. Not that there wasn't Jewish medical ethics before, it's there, it's in the Gemara over and over again. But in the Gemara there isn't a chapter that deals with medical ethics, there isn't a chapter that deals with the medical ethics. You can find a little bit here and a little bit there. What Rabbi Jacobovitz did was he took all this out and he put it together. And he presented it as his PhD thesis at the University of London, Jewish Medical Ethics. Now that was a long time ago. That was 45 years ago that he did that. It was 45 years ago. Since then, the world has become aware of it. Since then, and through it all, the world has become aware of medical ethics, and now the whole world is aware of medical ethics. And what I was discussing with this head of the family division at Scripps was, I said, it is absolutely necessary that Jewish ethics must be kept apart from general medical ethics. And the reason is, general medical ethics has got no standard. It's got no yardstick to go by. So general medical ethics can go about and start working on something that when a person reaches a certain age, he should painlessly be put to death. And they justify it. Don't think it's only the question of the person who's alive, and the person who is so old. And they've already suggested ages, you see. 85, they reckon, is a suitable age for that. But you must give the other people also, there's too many people in the world, you've got to give them room. You've got to make room for them. And you've got to allow them to go, and these people are taking up too much. They cost too much. So, that is, if they can't get through with that, at least when a person is no longer in use, then certainly, that they can justify that. Ethically, they justify it. You've got to think of the living. That's a very big claim. Who's more important, the living or the dead? You've got to think of the living. You've got to give them a chance. And people fall for this sort of thing. He is no standard. With us Jews, God is prohibited. Life is life, and taking it away from anyone is murder, and it's clearly defined. What it is, what is murder? No question about it. This is murder. We've got a standard. Even if it's got no standard, they can do anything. And then in 50 years' time, they can decide that they made a mistake. It doesn't matter. We can't afford to make mistakes. Torah can't afford to make mistakes. It's dealing with reality. So it's most important that we have got Jewish ethics as separate from general ethics. And Rabbi Lipner, as you know, does a tremendous amount of work with this, and highly successfully. Now, without Zogel, you can justify anything. No standard. I spoke about homosexuality. It's justified, but look how it's justified. Soon, we will be the odd people out. We will be funny people. Because we are heterosexual, is that what it's called? Because we are heterosexual, so we'll be funny people. They'll have to look after us and give us our rights and things like that. I mean, you can do anything. If you haven't got a standard, you can do anything. But no standard. And here's the thing. The rights of the criminal. Now, you know, there's a polar attitude to that. Every person has got rights, but every person has got privileges, but every person has got obligations. Every person has got obligations to abide by the law, even if he doesn't keep it. But he's got to abide by the law. If he doesn't abide by the law, he hasn't got the privileges. You can't have privileges if you don't accept the obligations. If you don't accept the liabilities, you can't have any privileges. That's Torah attitude. Now, it's come to such an extent, the rights of the criminal is to such an extent, that the criminal has got more rights than the victim has. Now, I'm not saying this alone. Bork said that, and for that reason, couldn't become a judge. A Supreme Court judge, he said that. He said, I can't work like that. I've got to work according to law. And Kennedy, what's his first name?
Edward.
Edward, I think, Edward. Yes, but what do the people want? What do the criminals want? Got to have respect for them, you've got to think of them. And so you've got a situation that without mitzvahs, it means you've got no standard, you've got no yardstick. But no yardstick is good. Now you've got another situation, I'm coming to you, kind of us, you've got another situation where in economics, and it's worth very, very interestingly, gold was the standard. So there's a standard you could measure it by. The economy worked very well until there was this Great Depression. Then Keynes, you call it Keynes or Keynes here?
Keynes.
So, So he came along with a brilliant idea. He said, teach the people not to save money. Until then, there were big posters in England all over, save your money, put it in the post office. You'll get 2.5% interest if you put it in your post office, and your account grows. And the people believed that they were brainwashed. And everybody was saving pennies. Putting it in the post office, you went, you got a box that looked like a dog. And if you weren't so particular about the animal, you could get one that looked like another animal, and you filled it, and you filled it, and you brought it to the post office, and there was a big deal, you bought it to the post office opened it, and he put it into your little book, and you got 2.5% interest for it. Please go to London, he said, it's nonsense. Get people to spend money. Now, you must have had a Jewish friend at Cambridge. I have friends in those days at Cambridge. We were very good at Gomorrah, but outstanding. There was Emil Malmsteen, there was Chaim Klein, was at the top of Kinder College, there was Barney Klein, there was Gillis. These were my friends there at the time. And he could very easily have got the idea from them that their idea is money is zuz. Remember Chaddadjo, the two zuzis. A zuz is something that moves, it's got to move. He says, you've got to get money to move. Every people spend it move. This is a wonderful thing about America. America's got this idea, you spend a lot, you get, you spend. It's very good, you see, that is what money is supposed to be. That is what the standard is. He said, you must get off the gold standard. And they said to him, they said, look here, but if you've got no gold, you've got no standard, what's going to happen? He said, this can go on for 50 years. No trouble with this. And they said, and after 50 years? He said, after 50 years, I'm not going to be alive, so I'm not going to worry about it. Now that's a Goya, Jew doesn't say that. The Torah Jew will never say that. You know the story of, the story in the Midrash, of our old man was planting a carob tree. It takes 70 years for it to grow. So a man comes past and past, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm planting a tree. He said, what kind of carob tree? He said, but it takes 70 years for the fruit to grow. So he said, so what's that? He said, you don't expect to eat of the fruit. He said, no. But the carobs that I am eating are the carobs that people planted before. And not for themselves, they planted that I should have it. I'm planting that others should have it. A Torah Jew can't speak like that.
And then the common coming to an earth is their standard. It's part of the old world is a standard. That is an interesting thing. They is a standard. We go to Israel. We go. So we went and a part. So I tell you how much is an apartment. 1300. I can't get over it. 1300, thank you. I said, yes, they see that I'm expecting a few visitors. They expect me to argue. They said, $1,300. I said, dollars? But I'm in Israel. They said, $1,300. They said, we don't know what happens with them, I said, I'll give you the equivalent of 1,400 in the US, $70. In the last winter, we were saying that I was there, and that the last before we left, that I didn't sure to say, please, when you tell me about that, have you got dollars? I said, well, I've got the $70. No, it might be dollars. I said, you said, you said, they know where it is at. And if you look at the overseas papers, you already see the currency is measured by the dollar. So there is a standard. It's part of it all. There is a standard. We've got to have a standard. And the standard for the ground was 7 weeks in America. And if you don't see the 7 weeks, we see it covers everything. It just covers everything. So they've got the 7 weeks to come in there. So that is the third person that I should give you there. That they've got these 7 weeks to come in there. Now we can go on and finish the chapter. That comes a very interesting thing. Yes, I'm sorry,
this is something that I thought of, just here, I just think about it, and I know it's really strange. I didn't know one of my sponsors, She had to make them more distressed and try to become more of themselves, so they start to see them have children like this, because you can make them feel so to be more of them. And she was worried that, I mean, she said, I think that would be a character, I'd like to see myself in there and make sure that I'm going to have some of
Of the ship of Ireland, you might need to go for another few minutes. Right. The image of my finishing is real, tell everybody who didn't pull up here to be zero to make it go happy. He says, the Jew is, everything that the Jew does has an effect on the whole of creation. The Shibin Tabidokan is going to go through the whole lot. And since it says, God has subjected or subjugated him in relationship with the world to the way the Jews behave. That is, if they behave well, the whole Rashpia and his society is Alan Hashem, either to give his life to the world and that he emanates from him, his influence, God's influence, or to hide himself and to withdraw himself from the world and let the world go on, so to say, as if it were without him. I have two more things, three of the next. Ach, my son, the goodness, may you see the way you can be the chief of being the Jews, the rest of my elder Christella. But what the girl does, it does in no way affect God's revealing himself more in this world or revealing in this world. I will give a sheep in the absence of illness and his faith. But to the sins, there is a difference. If a girl's dimension keeps the mitzvah that applies to them, they will have it better. And if they don't keep it, in the end, they will have it worse. In the beauty in the nefesh, whether in material matters or in spiritual matters, and they seem to pay the price for them, and that is sure. But what they can do, this is just the last week, what they can do, they can have an influence over their son, their malach and their son. That they can have an influence over, and can influence them. The only nevertheless, after this year, in a college from whom I hear, I didn't say even before they end, although Hashem doesn't have an individual and particular Ashbocha for going, but the Tetzesh Yashbocha remember him, the same as Yehudi by Rabbi Mishraim, where the Lord Hashem does have Ashbocha over the glory insofar as it affects, can affect an individual Jew or the Jewish people. So there they can, I think, can use it. All of them will be the same as I'm looking at, going to the atmosphere and present. But this is not as an end in itself, but as a means in the end, which we discussed a few weeks ago in great detail. So the effect of it is a means to an end. Now, I just want to end this chapter on another note. And that means, I once heard a Jew speak. It was terribly painful for me to hear it. The Germans got their idea of Deutschland über alles, in Deutschland über allem, in Deutsche über allem, Germany over everything, and Germans over everybody. They got that idea from the Jews, said this man. And this was an influential thing to have an official position in a Jewish community. He said, the Germans got that from the Jews. We consider ourselves to be the chosen people. That is from where they got the idea. So they took it on themselves. They did the same thing as we did. And we were saying that it's immoral to say we are the chosen people without the chosen people. It is like that. Well, it wasn't even worthwhile criticizing it or saving. It wasn't even worthwhile. It's so stupid that we want to just look at the difference. The Germans, if anybody had any non-German blood in him, they couldn't be a German. Could you become a German? You couldn't become a naturalized German, you could never become a German. And of course the faith is such a shock to Jews in the early days of Hitler that I've already related this to you. The Jews retained themselves from the platforms in front of the underground trains committing suicide. They couldn't take it that they weren't so rejected as Germans.
couldn't be Jews. They didn't know that they were Jews. They were called to the Gestapo, there, it was printed in here, going back to great-grandfather, great-grandmother, you can do that and you can choose. We haven't got that. The first great principle of Hashem was that the God can become a Jew and he grafted onto the animal's world. Grafted onto the tree. Comes like that. One great difference. A second great difference. Just look at us. We've gone through exile of 1920 years. 1,930 years. That is the exile of speech. Look what we've gone through. What is the total attitude to it? It had to be so. This is because of our sins. Why do you need to say that? Our whole life is that. Look what others say. Word to this word which I should have spoke about you, the man Israel, and the older family whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, saying, this was our sister. The rapid thing is that you came to Kaysa Dora. It is only you who have known more than any of the nations of the earth. Okay, therefore, the Kaysa nation is all of the nations of the earth. I will visit upon you all your sins. I will punish for you for all your sins. I will punish for you before. That is the chosen nation. And that is the way we want it. The Germans to say. We have a chosen nation because we're going to be punished for everything wrong with that. That's why we're nonsense. That is when people set themselves up as authorities and make categorical statements and don't know what they're speaking about. And where you've got it, that it occurs over and over again in the Torah. That as soon as the Jews still know, they have to pay for it, for everything that they do. And we look upon the whole of the Torah, in the Holocaust of God, we don't say it's a part of the Germans, we don't say it's a Germans. We say we brought it on ourselves. And next time in your session, I will take it a little bit further to explain to you. Difficult to understand. I've already dealt with the Torah from a couple of angles, why it came about. But there's one thing I haven't touched on, and that is that we lost the great ones. And the great ones were the great opportunity we had to learn Torah. We lost it. It is true that I should have arranged it in such a way that they were all, the great ones remained. Each in every field of Torah, there remained at least one great man. And he was able to sow the seed and see that it was revived, it survived, and it was revived, and it's going on. Thanks to him, it's going on today. But in spite of that, he lost it. Lost in this session, I'll do this next week. But now we've finished the second chapter before and finish it. So we just have to round up the last part. Thank you, ladies.
Sure, if anything wants to borrow it, they're welcome to borrow it. You know, it's pretty complete, you might be sure. But it's the most interesting thing I'm going to understand. I don't know.
We speak about Rosh Hashanah. We don't speak about Rosh Hashanah as in the things that are that the world got ahead. That what we do want to convey is what is the most important part of the human body? The earth. That is the beginning of the earth. That is the foundation that Shlomo HaMelech laid to the Beis HaMikdash. That it was saved, had to be of the best stones, large stones, shaped and formed. And there had to be valuable stones. That's what it means. The beginning of the year has got to be so good. The rest of the year depends on the beginning of the year. That's what's got to be so good. I was saying to Orthodox Jews who went to Spain, Rosh Hashanah, I don't know where, Monterey, Cardinal, and they had the most wonderful Rosh Hashanah. They went down to the beach of Asia and they had the most wonderful Rosh Hashanah. Please don't call it Rosh Hashanah. Call it Shana Hadorja. New Year, fine. That's not Rosh Hashanah. It's the third of the year. That's what it wants to convey. When we speak about Yad HaZoka of Hashem, we want to convey only the concept of strength. In the doing, there is very material, the concept of Hashem, inserting, taking into his care. That's all it is. But it's not illustrative. It is language. Now we come back to where we started.
You said it's not illustrative. It's illustrative in your mind. You're not allowed to set it.
No, it's only an idea. You don't think of a head, and you don't think of an arm. Like Rosh Hashanah, you don't think of a head, you just think of the beginning of it, and how important it is.
The concept.
The concept. Only conceptual. Only conceptual. Nothing that is not even illustrated. That is how far it goes, yes?
Sorry. The distinction as far as I can tell, talking about almost what Brandon said, that there's someone who says that they actually called the God of the Bible.
Who said that?
He was going to give you the question in the rest of the time.
The Rambam says yes.
So there's somebody who actually believes
that the God of the Bible only the Baal Tamuno, that if you can ascribe to him physical likenesses. You knew that you had to cut the body, but you ascribe to him a physical likeness. You have a picture of him in your mind of an outstretched arm and of a strong arm. That is there, that you can't do.
But I thought that what in speaking to Mr. Ted was
said
to the Why
this is?
I thought
you
said that that's okay.
Well, he doesn't say it's okay. He said it's not okay. It's O.W. That he says, that he says, that he says, to say that a person's got no chayaka ulam abo, so that you can't.
And even Ezra is explaining...
The even Ezra doesn't explain the Rambam, no, but if the even Ezra can understand the Rambam, then even Ezra speaks independently. The even Ezra comes and speaks independently. But it was only that I understood the even Ezra, then it struck me that what the Rambam says, yeah. A and that the lie that he's speaking about down to Wheeler. The person has got to that. You say that it's wrong. But he said there are people, there are simple people, but there are good people, and they believe that. And that is the way they are. They are not able to conceive of it. They are not able to conceptualize to such an extent that it is completely abstract. So they have in their minds a picture. Children have that.
Because I have the distinction between the person who really believes that
he believes that that shape is not known.
He is the person who doesn't believe that he sees in here.
And there he says, this person always doesn't believe that God is corporeal. He believes that he's got no body. He has mentioned about that. But in his own mind, to make him understand it, he envisages God with a hand that would be something like that. That's what he envisages it. That is God.
And that is one's own language?
We say it's only, the Rambam says only language. It's only a question of language. You can't associate it with the other Kadok with the top. You can't associate it with that. You've got to be able, like the Rosh Hashanah, you've got to be able at the beginning of the year. Why is that? Because it's important, it's important. That's what you've got to be able to do. Now that is difficult. That is difficult. But that is what is expected of us as daily Jews. That is what we understand by it. But we must understand. Now, let me go back again. One of the things that we have discussed this evening. Kashrus, kosher animal state, and the kosher dish, state of fish. The kosher dish, that what is it that contaminates? Something that is purely in the abstract. The signs are coincidental. It just happens that it's very convenient for us. But that's not what makes the animal kosher, and that's not, and its absence doesn't make it trait. Just ways of distinguishing it. Now, then you can understand the whole idea of the basic discussion. The real basic is abstract, it is conceptual, it is spiritual. And we have it in a concrete form to reflect it all. And everything that there is it's concrete here to enable us to conceptualize, which is a point that comes much later. That is the idea of the basic instruction. And that is why it's built to a particular pattern, and it's a pattern that our show has So that is the basis of the basic instruction. It is abstract, it is conceptual, it is spiritual. We've got a base of religion. All the Kedusha.
Both things in this question, the first thing that we can have, are they both basically the same?
Not all together. But basically, yes, but not all together. There were things in the second base of religion that couldn't be in the first base of religion. And there were people who were so overtaken in the second base of interest that they thought, and the people who saw the first base of interest said, you can only say that you haven't seen the first base of interest. Don't you need to be awestruck by the second base of interest? That's what I've got to explain to people when they're sent to those. Tell the world such a great thing in the world you've never had it before. Only those who have never seen the tale of the world as it was before the world can say it like that.
Can you ask a couple of questions about this?
I think you heard that on Monday night.
Oh, no, that's where the questions came from.
Yeah,
I wonder when we were concerned, in the past year here at the University of Taylor Protocol that we have used sometimes in the year. And there's this four whole photos of
how you use it. You use it, you use it, but if you wash it, you wash it, you can use it, yes.
And some of
them are not purely.
I'm trying to tell you this. And you can't use plastic. If you've used it in the year, even if you wash it, you can't use plastic.
That is not plastic, you can't use it. You can't use it. You can't.
due to be sincere, we just got the same effect. But I was telling you, with plastic, we are in very great difficulties with plastic, because this is a synthetic substance, and the more it doesn't deal with synthetic substances, and it deals with the properties of the substances. And substances have got three types of properties. Some absorb, others repel, and others neither repel nor absorb. And there are three kinds of plastic. And I don't know, I just asked an engineer, and he said, well, how come to you show me a piece of plastic? He said, how come to you what kind it is?
And is that kind of plastic?
But those are expensive. You see, that's another thing that you can get a watch with a house that's not smaller.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Sure.
This has got an AD, but it's ADD, it's not in there, so you can't use it. All I can ask you is AQ in God of this. And don't you go to this part of that. Even if you look at these digits, it's become so.
you talk about in this I thought I could think you said.
Because
the
thing
said
that the
input
of LU
is
the
only thing
that
you
can
see, LU. That when I spoke to him years ago, when I spoke to the AD people about it, they think you've got to understand that this is a huge, huge country, and all things are happening, and you've got to make things available to people. If you don't make things available to people, they don't get to it at all. So you've got to do the best they can on the syllabus. I've mentioned it in June. They've got the last couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, that our best key is given to them. Our best key is absolutely a success. They've got to use the AD now, which means that the standard of the AD is increased considerably. Of course, we have to cut fair and over us at first. Any other questions? Good night, ladies.
I'm going to go to the hospital.